Millions around the world are in shock by the tragic case involving Oscar Pistorius. Oscar Pistorius is the celebrated athlete of South Africa, known the world over as the Blade Runner, the first to be admitted into an Olympics race using prosthetic legs, and he made an admirable account of himself. So he is a story of heroism, of discipline, of sacrifice. Well, last week, he was charged in court for shooting to death his fiancée, herself a celebrity in her own right. His defense is that it was an accidental shooting, and the prosecution, on the other hand, is pinning him down for premeditated murder, and everybody is asking why. Well, we will have to leave the result to the course of the trial, of course, but this is just one of many love tragedies. How could two people apparently so in love end up as assailant and victim? Isa lamang ito sa maraming trahedya na nakadugtong sa usapin ng relasyong pag-ibig. Well, this is one of the sad proofs of our fallenness, that even in love, we make tragedies happen. And it is all the more reason why we need to be very careful about our professed love to God. Inaangkin natin na tayo ay umiibig sa Diyos at magandang bagay iyan, subalit dapat nating suriin ng ayon sa salita ng Diyos. Nararapat nating tingnan kung tayo tunay na umiibig sa Diyos ng batay sa kanyang salita. It is right indeed. It is imperative that we think of our relationship with God, that we are lovers of God. We may be accustomed to think of ourselves as servants of God, as obeying the commandments of God, but what about loving God? The best reason why this should be our concern is because, as we have seen, this is the greatest commandment. Love to God, Jesus no less said, is the greatest of the commandments of God. But how do we know that we are truly the lovers of God that we ought to be? Is that to be by depth of emotion? Well, fortunately, the scriptures give us a certainty of evidences as a measurement of love to God. There are certain evidences of the believer's love to his God as basis of assurance, namely obedience to the commandments of God and love to Christian brethren. Yan ang panukat ng ating pag-ibig sa Diyos, pagsunod sa kanyang mga kautusan at pag-ibig sa mga kapatiran. Diyan natin sukatin yung tunay nating pag-ibig sa Diyos, wag sa emosyon, wag sa damdamin, wag sa mga nakapaligid sa atin. Beware that we do not fall short. And where love to God possesses a believer, it cannot be hidden. It will be recognized. In other words, it will become public. And so we said last week that love is the adornment of a winsome Christian testimony. It adorns, it commends our proclamation. It attracts imitation. I want to conclude this brief series, I hope, with a challenge to all of us. I would invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. My concentration is on one phrase of verse 4, but to get the context, let's read from verse 1 to verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. And my concentration is on this phrase, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Now, we must always bear in mind when we read Paul's second letter to Timothy that it is the last of the letters of the Apostle Paul. Scholars estimate that a few weeks after writing this letter, he would be executed by the Roman government. And therefore, we can say that this letter is the fruit of the long ministry of the Apostle. And what we see here is the mature reflection of Paul on where the church then was going. Ito ang kanyang huling sulat at masasabi natin na naranasan na ni Pablo ang lahat ng dapat niyang maranasan at kanyang pinag-iisipan ano ang nangyayari sa mga iglesia na naroon ngayon sa naroon noon sa imperyo ng Roma. He must have thought of the potentials that create optimism for the church, but at the same time he thought of the threats that rouse challenge. In our text exposes some of the serious threats, and what we have here is a catalog of sinful trends through then and through now. And I will not spend time on the many sins that Apostle Paul has listed in this passage, but I would like to especially focus on this contrast: lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Mangingibig ng kalayawan sa halip na mangingibig ng Diyos. Parang may pinagtatapat si Apostol Pablo o may pinagsasalungat siya na kung ikaw ay umiibig sa kalayawan, hindi ka maaring umibig sa Diyos. In fact, in the original, lover of pleasure is just one word. In other words, this is the whole character of the person. He is a lover of pleasure, and when a person is a lover of pleasure, by that very fact, he cannot be a lover of God. And this is my message to conclude this series. Professed love to God will not be a lasting attachment where pleasure governs. Ang inaangkin nating pag-ibig sa Diyos ay hindi mananatili kung umiiral ang kalayawan. Professed love to God will not be a lasting attachment where pleasure governs. Now, the King James translation is quite unfortunate because its translation is lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It assumes that one can be a lover of pleasure and yet still be a lover of God, but in some sense less. And that is not the point. The right translation is lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You cannot be a lover of pleasure and then at the same time be a lover of God. And if you are a lover of God, then you cannot be a lover of pleasure. It is a choice. And this is the only place in all of the scriptures where we have this expression, lover of God. So my series on the subject, lover of God, will not be complete unless I use the one expression in the scriptures that uses this title, lover of God. You cannot be a lover of God if you are a lover of pleasure. They do not mix. Now, there is something in the spirit and disposition of loving pleasure that makes it unfit for love to God. Bakit ito ang masasabi natin na single out ni Apostol Pablo, nakakasalungat ng pag-ibig sa Diyos, ay sinasabi niya na ito ang talagang magsasara ng pag-ibig sa Diyos. Kapag inuna natin ang pag-ibig sa kalayawan, isasara nito ang tunay na pag-ibig sa Diyos. And how we need it today, because this is a generation which can be so fitly described as a lover of pleasure. We are inundated by pleasure all around us, amusement, entertainment. Binabaha tayo ng mga kalayawan sa ating henerasyon, at kaya't ang akmang-akma ang babalang ito ni Apostol Pablo. Kung gusto nating maging mangingibig ng Diyos, kinakailangang hamunin natin ang anumang pag-ibig sa kalayawan. And I would like to suggest three contrasts between loving pleasure and loving God. Why they cannot go together? There are three contrasts. First, levity versus gravity. Kagaangan laban sa kabigatan o kaseryosohan. Levity versus gravity. Secondly, enjoying versus rejoicing. Kasayahan laban sa kagalakan. Enjoying versus rejoicing. And thirdly, diversion versus devotion. Wala akong maisip na salin. But kaaliwan laban sa pagsuko ng sarili sa Diyos. Diyan makikita natin ang pagkakasalungat kung bakit ang isang umiibig sa kalayawan hindi maaring umibig sa Diyos. So first of all then, consider this contrast, levity versus gravity. Kagaangan laban sa kaseryosohan o kabigatan. Now, for levity, you can use other synonyms like flippancy or frivolity. It refers to something light-hearted, something trivial. In other words, something not serious. Is it wrong? No, not in and of itself. We need to have some fun. Some of you, I will have to advise, do not be overly serious. As the nursery rhyme goes, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. All play and no work makes Jack a mere toy. So, pagbalansehin natin, may puwang para sa kagaangan, sa mga katuwaan. But I am afraid that what is happening in today's generation of Christians is leaning on the toy side. They are making a toy out of Christianity. And we need to be reminded that love to God requires the most serious disposition. It is something that we cannot trivialize. Hindi maaring pag-aangin ang usapin ng pag-ibig sa Diyos. It is good to have some light-hearted portions in your life. Have some fun. Christianity is not moroseness. Pick up some reading to make the day light. Watch a TV show that is healthy. Yes, get involved in some sports. Paul used illustrations from the Olympics of the ancient world. So sports is not bad. But when the light and trivial govern our pattern of living, we become unfit for loving God. We learn from the greatest commandment that loving God involves what? All your mind, all your soul, all your heart, all your strength. Now, does that sound trivial? By its very nature, pleasure cannot have all your mind and all your heart. It is meant to be relaxed. It is meant to be lighthearted, a relaxed mood, and therefore not serious. But loving God, brethren, that's serious. That's serious business. The challenge of loving God requires the exercise of all your humanity. You cannot be relaxed in loving God. Hindi maari ang pag-ibig sa Diyos ay nasa diwa ng kagaangan. One of the problems of Timothy that Apostle Paul sought to address was his diffidence. Nangingimi. Mukhang mahiyain itong si Timoteo at maraming payo si Apostol Pablo sa kanya na palakasin ang kanyang sarili. One of those is in chapter 1, 6 and 7 of 2 Timothy. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear but of power and love and self-control. So he says, fan into flame. Hindi maari na ang biyaya natin sa Diyos ay kaunting damdamin lamang, fan it into flame. Hayaan mong mag-apoy ang iyong pag-ibig sa Diyos. And we too need to fan into flame the grace of love. In other words, it is serious business. You cannot make a pleasure out of it. There is nothing trivial about God dealing with us. When you look at the Old Testament stories that display the love of God, whether it is the crossing of the Red Sea, the captivity, the rebuilding of the temple, and when you go to into the New Testament, the greatest story of love of all of them, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing trivial about these things. And that is why when you are challenged to come to Christ and cast yourself upon the cross, there is nothing trivial about it. What is at stake is your eternity. So we become personal and serious in matters of love, matters in which we face the specter of the most serious consequences. Well, this is the period that we remember, the People Power Revolution. And I've been reading the memoir of Juan Ponce Enrile. I know it's been much criticized because there has been, they say, a lot of revisions, but I noticed that it is in the period of that people power revolution that his memoir became most personal, most serious, because he was then facing the specter of death. They were determined never to surrender, and therefore it was up then to the decision of Marcos whether to attack them in their weakness at that period, and they were ready to die. And it was at the point that they were ready to die that JPE became most serious in his memoir. And so with us, when we are facing the most serious consequences, we cannot afford to be trivial. We need to be serious. And I say that that is the issue of love to God. Nothing trivial about it. I challenge you, therefore, confront the trivializing factors in your dealing with God and turn serious. Pag sa usapin ng pag-ibig sa Diyos, anumang nangyayari sa iyo na napapagaang ito, ay alisin mo, baguhin mo, gawin mong seryoso, gawin mong mabigat. You know the times that you become serious, do you not? It is when something is at stake. You do not go to hospital for triviality. You do not read a letter from a loved one lightheartedly. You take it seriously. So ask yourself, perhaps you have trivialized your reading of the word for meditation, or your coming to church for worship has been turned to something lighthearted. Mortify that. Turn it serious. How can you turn your dealing with God with more seriousness? Spend more time in your closet alone with God. One advice that Paul gave Timothy in chapter 2, verse 7 is, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. That's the way to turn serious. Think about it. That's what Jesus said of love to God, with all your mind. And the reason why we become trivial in our dealing with God is the non-involvement of the mind. Think of it. Jonathan Edwards' legacy to the church is his insistence that the mind must be paramount in dealing with God. It's not primarily emotion. It is not primarily circumstances. It is first and foremost, think it over. Pag-isipan mo. Pinag-iisipan mo ba ang iyong kalagayan sa relasyon mo sa Diyos? Napagmumuni-muni mo ba? Sapagkat kung hindi, hindi ito magiging seryosong bagay. Kaya ang unang salungat kung bakit yung pag-ibig sa kalayawan ay hindi magiging katambal ng pag-ibig sa Diyos is because of this contrast, levity versus gravity. The second contrast is enjoying versus rejoicing, kasayahan laban sa kagalakan. Now again, let me stress, it is an essential part of our humanity to enjoy something, have a good time, to laugh. To enjoy means to experience momentary positive stimulation. We cannot be against that. But we just cannot and must not reduce our dealing with God as something of an enjoyment. Now, the word of Scripture for that is rejoicing. There is joy in loving God that is incomparable to worldly enjoyment. Merong kagalakan sa pag-ibig sa Diyos na hindi maihahambing sa mga kasayahan na pangsanlibutan. You enjoy music and that's good. You can enjoy a good film. Enjoy, as I do, a good sports competition. I enjoy reading materials. And that gives us a happy stimulus which is good for the balance of our personality. But joy must always be distinguished from happiness. Magkaiba po yung kagalakan sa kasayahan. Happiness is immediate, momentary stimulation. Joy is that sense of privilege for belonging to God, for receiving His love and grace. And one can have joy even though he may be at points not happy. Maaring magkaroon ng kagalakan Bagamat hindi masaya, maaaring nasa gitna siya ng kapighatian, ng kabigatan, pero mapapanatili ang kagalakan na ang ibig sabihin na mamalayan niyang siya'y tinanggap ng Diyos kay Jesucristo. So joy is that sense of privilege. I belong to God. What can be better than that? And it is no accident that when Jonathan Edwards wrote his masterpiece, Religious Affections, he based it on the text of 1 Peter 1:8, which says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. If you're familiar with 1 Peter, Peter was writing to persecuted Christians. Some of them were dying from persecution. And yet Peter could assume that they have this inexpressible joy out of their love to Christ. So makikita natin dito, hindi kailangang masaya para may galak. May kagalakan sila sa gitna ng kanilang pag-uusig. At yan ang nangyari sa kanila. I've read again and again of athletes who, in the midst of their fame as celebrities, yet they covered up a miserable life behind their fame. Lance Armstrong is just the latest. Considered the greatest athlete by one biographer, only to be exposed that in all of his championships in cycling, he cheated. And he intimidated those who could have exposed him. There's Diego Maradona, considered in history as the owner of the greatest goal in football, the most beautiful goal. In his latest tournament, again exposed for taking drugs. All these celebrities have to maintain fame, and many of them had to cheat their way into it, hiding the misery of their lives just to keep the happiness. That's not joy. So aspire for a gracious delighting in God, unchallenged by pleasures. Huwag mong hayaan ang saya ng buhay ang iyong pagsisikapan. Merong mas malalim kaysa saya, at yan ang galak. Delighting in God is not some emotional switch that you turn on and off as occasion requires. When you delight in something, it becomes a disposition. Though emotional states may vary, you can maintain the disposition. Yan ang panatiliin nating diwa. Magbago man yung ating damdamin sa dahilan sa mga nakapaligid sa atin, yung diwa mapapanatili natin. Unfortunately, the kind of worship that is bred today orients to enjoyment rather than rejoicing. They want happiness, not joy. And when our worship is more stimulated by musical instrument rather than the word, it is pleasure that governs. That cannot be the breeding ground of love to God. Let us have this resolve that when we are in the presence of God, it is delight, it is joy that will determine, that will define our atmosphere. It is worship that demonstrates what is so wrong with our generation. Somebody put it this way, you can look at life like a triangle. The three points are worship, work, and play. And what demonstrates what's so wrong with our generation is that they go like this. They worship their work, they work at their play, and they play in worship. Sinasamba nila yung kanilang trabaho, nagtatrabaho sila sa kanilang sports, sa kanilang mga laro. Di ba? Napakaseryoso ng mga tao sa sports ngayon, nag-aaway-aaway pa. Pagkatapos, pagdating ng pagsamba, laro. So they worship their work, they work at their play, and they play in worship. That's what's so wrong with our generation. No, worship is not play. It is serious. It is love to God. I've shown you weeks ago the testimony of Captain Payne Best, the prison mate of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in the days leading to his execution, he saw a man so close to God, so full of joy, even though he knew he was facing death. And that's my point about loving God as something that can give us joy amidst the circumstances that may not be enjoyable. So there's the contrast again, enjoying versus rejoicing, and finally, diversion versus devotion. Kaaliwan laban sa pag-aalay ng sarili. Our pleasures are a way of diversion from the real focus of life, and again, they have their place. Out of the goodness of God, we are given ways to not just focus on one thing, have a fixation and nothing else. We have a diversion, and that's right. However, love to God yields persevering devotion, not fluctuations of emotional experience. Devotion is commitment to someone regardless of circumstances, sentiments, or moods. Ganun ang devotion. Pag-aalay ng sarili, anuman ang pagkakataon, anuman ang nakapaligid, anuman ang mga damdamin. The kind of dealing with God that many have been in the habit of doing, unfortunately, is like a diversion. Going to church is their diversion, while their real focus is earning money, achieving their ambition. Sometimes a sermon may have a touching and poignant effect on them, only to prove to be a diversion. It does not elicit devotion. It is like attending a concert where the music may move them emotionally, but just a diversion. Love to God is persevering. That's why I call this a lasting attachment. Not fluctuating. Not off and on. We were given the news recently of the death of Lolong. Supposed to be the record holding longest crocodile in the world. But from the beginning, there was no real commitment to the good of that crocodile. It was a diversion. Kumita yung komunidad at pang-aliw sa mga dumadalo sa kanilang zoo. And then when death happens, a specter of mourning. But from the beginning, there was no commitment to the good of that crocodile. They saw an opportunity for income. They should have left it to its natural habitat, but no income in that. So there was no real commitment. And many of our supposedly spiritual exercises are diversionary. So I challenge you, watch the rival love of pleasure that entices away from attachment to God. In the passage that we have read, there were two other ways in which one Paul calls a lover of money, a lover of self. And in those ways, there is rivalry to love to God. Maring may pag-ibig sa salapi. Sinabi na niya yan in 1 Timothy 6:10, love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And then he speaks of a Demas in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. In other words, there can be no rival love to God. So defy the lure of diversionary enticement away from God. Identify them honestly, without guile. What is it that is stealing your heart from its prior attachment to God? Are you becoming cold to God because of your TV, your social media, your online surfing, your relations? What of God's cause are you persevering in? And that you are persevering because you are in love with God. This is the last letter of Paul, as I've said. He must be reflecting what he has learned all these years of ministry. and is so pleasure as a rival challenge to loving God. So take God seriously. Take loving God seriously. And when you do, it will become to you a devotion, not a diversion. Diversion is you pick up your Bible on a Sunday, go to church, and then perhaps enjoy the sermon or enjoy the discussion, enjoy the fellowship. Go home and then go back to your work, and that becomes the real focus of your life. Your church life has become a diversion, not a real devotion. Devotion is keeping at it as an attachment to God. Let me tell you of devotion. Gianni Farisi has for many years, more than a decade now, maintained a website for many years, a global network of Reformed Baptist pastors. Through him, we get in contact with each other. I can send news from the Philippines and it goes to the world. And I hear news from the world through the website of Gianni Farisi. I remember 1998, he sent a prayer request on my behalf. Although wrongly informed that I was dying, I was just sick of dengue, but it was made a world prayer request. But one thing that I must tell you about Gianni Farisi is that he is afflicted with a muscular atrophy, rendering him incapacitated in all his limbs. He cannot function with his arms and with his legs, that keeps him bedridden. And in fact, it is the kind of disease that is not expected to survive long. He has two other siblings who did not survive. So Gianni Farisi knew all along that he was living on borrowed time. Most everybody else would have sulked, perhaps cursed life and cursed God for that affliction. Well, not Gianni Farisi. He used his time and the talents he has to be on that computer and connect hundreds of us, Reformed Baptist pastors around the world. So imagine my shock last Friday when I got, and perhaps hundreds of others of us got this email from him last Friday. Let me read it in full. It is very brief. He said, "My brethren, I saw my doctor Tuesday. She said that they can do nothing more for me, that I am dying. They will make me as comfortable as possible with meds. Either I or your church will inform you via Pastor Smith on my progress. I will remain online as long as possible. I love you all. I have truly been blessed beyond measure by the privilege given me by you and our Lord. Thank you very much. Blessings, Jenny." That's devotion. When everyone else in that condition would have sulked, he gave himself to the cause. And many of us have been in touch because he did not sulk in his incapacity. That's devotion. And I want to ask you, if you have that devotion, let love to God be our lasting attachment. If there is anything that is enticing you away from true devotion to God, challenge it. Do not sulk at your incapacities. Rather, love God enough that you will truly give yourself to Him. Not as a pleasure, not as enjoying, not as a levity or as a diversion, but something of gravity, something rejoicing, something that has devotion. And that challenges us to really examine ourselves if we are truly in love to God. And our last hymn is a hymn of self-examination. "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me, and cleanse me from every sin, and set me free." And may this be our true prayer and genuine examination of ourselves, and determine that we would truly be lovers of God. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos at Ama, tulungan mo ngang maging hamon ito sa amin na kami ay tunay mong mangingibig at isang bagay na dapat naming hamunin na siyang kumakaribal sa pag-ibig namin sa iyo ay ang pag-ibig sa kalayawan. Kung meron man itong umiiral sa amin ay tulungan mo kaming tanggalin, talikuran, pagsisihan at daigin sa pamamagitan ng iyong biyaya. May we be convicted of how diametrically in contrast love of pleasure is to that of love to God. For love of pleasure means levity. Love to God requires gravity and all the seriousness that this exercise of love requires of us. So grant that we may challenge anything that is trivializing in our dealing with you. And help us, Lord, to abide by the advice of Paul to Timothy. Think it over. Make our lives, make our dealing with you be one that is seriously thought over. Help us to be convicted of the contrast between enjoying and rejoicing. And while there is a place for enjoying in our lives, dealing with you is a matter of joy, not momentary positive stimulation. Rather, it is based upon the consciousness that we are accepted in the Beloved. And that is the basis for joy, no matter the circumstances of our lives. So grant that we may learn to aspire for a gracious delighting in our God that is unchallenged by the pleasures of this world. And help us to be convicted of the contrast between diversion and devotion. That love to God yields persevering devotion. It is not fluctuation of emotional experience. So help us, Lord, to watch whatever rival love of pleasure there is that entices us away from a lasting attachment to you. If there is anything of pleasure that is resulting in coldness to you, grant that we may challenge it, mortify it, and let love to you be unrivaled in our hearts, and let it be demonstrated not in diversionary experiences, but in a lasting attachment, a lasting devotion to you. And we need your grace for this to be. So shower us with your grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray all these things. Amen.